Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
My next guest is an interesting person. Came across blogs on the Times of Israel, articles by Lynn Julius, who we've spoken to here on Chai FM not too long ago. Fascinating gentleman he is. He is Levi Meir Clancy. He is an American, and he went to live in Erbil in Kurdistan. I don't know if the guy is absolutely brave or completely nuts. Levi, which is it?
You know, I would say actually absolutely passionate. When I first started learning about the Kurdistan region, I heard wonderful messages that these are people who are allies, that this government is very tolerant, stands for coexistence. I heard wonderful reassurances from officials that I am safe. They would say, you know, Jewish people are our brothers. And there's a wonderful amount of solidarity between day-to-day people. That's true. But then I found out that actually living there means that you can thrive, but ultimately I was threatened also.
Let's leave the end a little bit later. I'm interested in the process. So just out of interest, are you Mizrahi or Sephardi in any way? Do you have family connections to the area? Is that what attracted you originally?
So actually, to be honest, I was pretty much a totally blank slate in that respect. So my mother's side is Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
And then my father's side is actually Okinawan. And obviously, you know, both communities are minorities, have been through a lot. A lot of people don't know, actually, that Okinawan people, up to one third or even one half of all Okinawans were killed in World War II. So on both sides of my family, I was raised with this strong sense of justice. And there was a lot of resonance with Kurdish experience, even though I'm not Mizrahi, I'm not Sephardi. I have absolutely zero, you could say, like, ancestral connections to the Kurdistan region.
So what was the initial pull? What makes somebody with no connection want to go to Iraq? Because I hear you break the distinction between Kurdistan and Iraq, but let's call it what it is. It's Iraq.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, despite what has happened, you know, the Kurdistan region definitely has absolutely a moral right to exist and is definitely a much more moderate government than other governments in the area.
Yeah.
But what pulled me in initially was actually the history. I was studying the history of the ancient Near East as my minor. My major was actually microbiology, but I added a minor in ancient Near Eastern history, and I wanted to see the archaeological places. And that was 12 years ago. That was back in 2010. So 19-year-old me had a small suitcase, and I went off on my way. I was in the area already. I was visiting Europe, and I went over, and it was an incredible experience. I knew instantly. I was like, I want to live here.
Did you change your name when you introduced to people? Did you hide the Levi Meir part, which is so clearly Jewish / Israeli?
So what's really interesting is that really from the beginning, I was completely welcomed. So I'm personally, I don't have Israeli citizenship. I just have American citizenship. But it was really incredible. You know, I would visit my friends and they would play Israeli music to welcome me. They would try and like set a mood, I guess.
Wow.
And one time I went to a hotel in Dahuk and I check in and the guy at the counter sees my name and says, Levi. Yes. And he looks at me, looks at my name.
Yes.
And then I swear to you, he pulls out from behind the counter a giant, like 3 by 5, or sorry, by meters, like 1 by 1.5 meter, Israeli flag. And is like, welcome. We are brothers. And
so, yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about because I've seen pictures of Kurdish rallies where, believe it or not, the Israeli flag is flown. It seems to me that there's some sort of kinship between Israelis and Kurds in terms of being minorities in a very large Arab majority. Is that accurate?
So a lot of those pictures, I may have actually taken those pictures, which is the funny thing. So yes, there is. And there's a little bit of nuance to it. I had the honor of working with Dr. Mordechai Zakin before he passed away. And he was appointed by the Kurdish Jewish leadership as a supervisor, if you will, over Jewish concerns in the Kurdistan region.
Yeah.
So he was appointed in Israel because there's no Kurdish Jews left in the Kurdistan region. But he explained to me, he was saying that it goes back to the 20s and 30s when the Kurds were trying to rebel against the British and then the Iraqi government, and they were being bombed. I mean, you know, 80, 90 years ago, a long time ago. And so the Jewish community, some of the Jewish leadership living in the Kurdistan region at that time, they actually provided support, material support to the Kurdish rebels, if you will.
Fascinating.
And so this started a very pragmatic, very material, though, relationship that extended after the State of Israel was established. There was already a lot of trust between, you know, certain Jewish tribal leaders, if you will, Jewish leaders who had provided support, Kurdish rebels. There was already like an awareness. And that wound up really until the 90s continuing. And it was very substantial. And today you have definitely kind of a sense of mutual understanding. I don't know if it's almost like, you know, kind of like a secret handshake of like, you know, we've been through similar things. We have similar enemies, similar triggers, if you will. There is something, but it's not necessarily as substantial as sometimes some people might try and assume, but there is a solidarity.
So I'm just conscious of time, and I'm just absolutely fascinated by your story. So, I don't know, you decide to relocate, you buy a flat, you, I presume you've got a job. You attempted to, I don't know, live a normal life, and you were thrown out. Why? And by whom?
So I think one thing that, you know, really stuck out to me in this experience was that sort of like the absolute best that someone can do will never be good enough if you are connected to Jewishness, is what I found out.
Wow.
And people will say, well, you bought a home there. And it's like, well, yeah, officials were always extraordinarily warm. Every authority I met was like, you know, we are brothers. We're in this, you know, we are, you made the right choice to buy your home here. And I had a wonderful job. Then I was working my master's degree the last 2 years. Everything was good, but then some cracks started to show in the last few years. And it was really stunning that, you know, people who used to really, if you could say, like, guarantee to me that I will always have a home in the Kurdistan region, that I will always be safe, I'll always be secure. In the last few years, some of them reversed and became blatantly anti-Semitic.
Levy, did that have anything to do with events in Israel? I'm just thinking, did Operations Guardians of the Wall perhaps cause a change in attitude? What led to that? Why the change?
And that's the thing. If I had a clear answer, if I could say, you know, it was really around this event, it was around that event, I would share. But to be honest, the scariest thing for me is I really don't know. And I've tried to understand this. You know, I've had, I was contacted by the FBI because I've had apparently an active death threat against me in the Kurdistan region. And when I came to authorities, I would be like, the FBI told me that I'm in danger because of this, this, this. And they were like, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, really. I like, and I know for a fact that like these people have been harassing me. They've broken into a heritage site. There's people claiming to be long lost Kurdish Jews who are not Jewish at all. And they're trying to attack people who kind of contradict them or are in their way. And then officials were like, you're not in any danger. And it's like the FBI says I'm in danger, and things kept like kind of spinning out. And then next thing I know, I get to the airport just to visit my apartment. I have my backpack with me, and they don't ask me any security questions, no political questions. It wasn't like a, you know, misunderstanding or something. They asked me questions about like very scrutinizing my religious background, my father's father, father's mother, mother's mother, mother's father. And then they said, you can never see your home again. You will never come back here. And apparently they've been denying entry to other people who are visibly connected to Jewishness. Like someone told me, a friend of mine, that two of his Hasidic friends had just been denied entry. And it's apparently become a kind of a pattern, and people who used to be, you could say, very well connected and very close to the government, almost are saying like, we don't know if it's safe to go back right now.
Livia, I'm so sad about the fact that we are out of time. So much more to ask you. Maybe you'll agree to talk to us again. I didn't get to ask you about the foundation of ours. Thank you for talking to us here on Chai FM. I hope that's not the last time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
That was Levy Meir Clancy, interesting guy, Jewish American, thrown out of Iraq. Yeah, fascinating story.